Do you suffer from GD, also known as geek dysfunction?
Hey buddy, can't get your server up?
See your doctor and ask him about Technorama. Technorama can help you lead a more productive geek life without those embarrassing moments.
Starbuck is a girl!
By listening to Technorama, you'll also be able to communicate with your kids better.
A geek!
A geek!
A geek!
A geek!
Just 45 minutes a week of Technorama, and you can lead a healthy, happy, and full geek life. Visit ChuckChat.com for your free sample today. Stop suffering from GD.
The next transit of Venus will occur on June 5th and 6th, 2012.
Warning, side effects may include laughing out loud in public places. Technorama should be listened to with caution while drinking liquids or driving. Women who are pregnant should not listen to Technorama less than twice.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Craig's back!
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. Technorama is now made with 5% recycled material.
Oh wait, is now 6.
Is that a good thing?
Actually, it's more like 95.
This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, skiffy, and all things geek. This is Technorama for September 11, 2006. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the show. We hope you enjoy it. We hope you stay subscribed. If you're coming back to us, there's medication for that.
What's your problem?
We thank you heartily. I am your host, Chuck Tomasi, and with me is my other host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm fantastic and tired of driving.
You drove that trip?
Yeah, absolutely. It was cheaper.
Well, I suppose.
Yeah.
Hey, not that. How long of a trip was it?
Nine-ish. Well, yeah, I went warp 3, so they couldn't catch me. Anyway, about 9 hours, something like that.
We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Coming up in tonight's show, we've got tons of listener feedback, Craig's report on the launch of the Atlantis, or the way he saw it, and some telepathy. Say that 5 times fast, and we'll be back right away.
I'm saying it backwards.
On this day in tech history for September 11th, 2006. This is September 11th. It's the 254th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 111 days remaining in 2006. It was on this date in 1609 that Henry Hudson lands on Manhattan Island. And on this date in 1916, the Quebec Bridge collapses for the second time, killing 11 men. The bridge initially collapsed on August 29th, 1907. Quality. George Stibitz pioneers the first remote operation of a computer on this date back in 1940. And ground is broken for the construction of the Pentagon on this date in 1941. It was on this date in 1962 that the Beatles record their debut single, Love Me Do. And the Ford Pinto is introduced on this date in 1970. 25 years ago on this date, the Pee Wee Herman Show airs as a special on HBO. Come on, you've watched that show once or twice. And today celebrates 911 Emergency Day. It was established in 1987 on August 26th. 9/11, August 26th. Proclaimed by President Reagan on August 26, 1987, and celebrated since then by some United States communities, particularly the local emergency services. And it was on this day 10 years ago that the Union Pacific Railroad purchases the Southern Pacific Railroad. And of course, 5 years ago, on this date on 2001, the September 11th attacks destroy the World Trade Center in New York City, part of the Pentagon in Arlington, Virginia, and crash a passenger airline into Shanksville, Pennsylvania. In total, almost 3,000 lives were lost. 3 years ago today, the Cartagena Protocol on biosafety enters into effect. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1798 to Franz Ernst Neumann, the German mineralogist and physicist. Also, happy birthday on this date in 1816 to Carl Zeiss, the German lens maker. Look on your camera or binoculars and see if you have Carl Zeiss lenses. The second man in space, German Titov, was born on this date in 1935. Also, happy birthday to American astronaut Robert Crippen, who turns 69 today. And the actress who played B'Elanna Torres on Star Trek Voyager, Roxanne Dawson, turns 48 today. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for September 11th, 2006.
Hey, this is Kevin Devon.
And this is George Starcher of In the Trenches.
The podcast for systems administrators and IT professionals at kevindevon.com.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
And now, back to the geeks.
Welcome back, and welcome back to you, Craig.
Yes, I'm glad to be back, finally.
How it's been a happy, fun week. How glad are you?
I'm so glad. I'm happy. Don't know.
You know, as I was listening to the On This Day in Tech History, I said Carl Zeiss was born on this date in 1816. You know,
right.
Checking your glasses is one of those paradoxes like making coffee. How can you take off your glasses and check if your lenses are made by Carl Zeiss if you need your glasses to read something? Yeah. Just like, how can you make coffee if you got to be awake to make coffee? You know, usually wind up putting in the grounds before the filter or something stupid like that.
I know, use a timer.
Oh, prepare it the night before. That's too easy.
Yeah.
Clear abuse of technology.
That's right.
All right, shall we get into the tons and tons of listener feedback we've got?
Yes, dig in.
Okay, we got a bunch of letters.
Letters! Here, oh, I love letters. Ooh, letters. Delicious letters.
Delicious letters?
Delicious letters.
Delicious letters, maybe.
Letters.
First one's from Joel regarding the Ford Thunderbird I mentioned on last show's On This Day in Tech History, that the last Ford Thunderbird was produced in 1997. He says, nay, nay, consult the almighty Wikipedia. And he provides a link, which is odd because Wikipedia is where I get most of my information from. If you look by date, that's what it said. Yeah. So if you look under Ford Thunderbird, it says, according to the all-knowing Wikipedia, well, I already know, I just wanted to give you a reference. The last Thunderbird was made in 2005. From 1997 to 2001, they did not make Thunderbirds. They brought out a new Thunderbird that was much more like the original, as well as being much more expensive. Was it about 40 feet long, too?
No, it wasn't quite that big. You saw it. You've seen it, hadn't you?
Yeah, I have.
Was that retro style?
It was canceled after the 2005 model year because of low sales. Only about 9,000 cars in the final model year.
Hey, the Ford Thunderbird. I was going to say, man, I love that guy. He's a great comedian.
Oh, boo.
That's Fairlane. Oh.
No, yeah, Ford Fairlane. And the guy from Spaceballs was born in the Ford Galaxy.
Yeah.
Next one's from Weber Baker regarding the new schedule. He says, "Why, you no good, lazy, good-for-nothing louts! Have you no shame? Putting your families before your audience? Where are your priorities? Spend more time with your family? Buy them an Xbox, for heaven's sake! Get them a Dell laptop and some marshmallows! Hours of fun!" In a paraphrase from Marie Antoinette, "Let them have Netflix." Says, "Really, I do appreciate the time it takes for you guys to do this, and I am glad you can continue. All the best, Weber."
Yes, thank you, Weber, I think. Hey, send me a grill.
A grill?
Yeah, so I can spend some more time with my family. Weber grills.
Weber Baker. Boom, yeah. Makes even
turn
more
that music down some.
I'll turn it down on your end.
It's not
that loud
please.
In the final mix. How's that?
That's a little bit better.
Okay. Let's make it a lot better. Final one's from Stingray. Just writes, "Thanks." He says, "Hey, Chuck and Craig, this is Stingray." Apparently so. "So I was planning on writing something like this for my one-year anniversary of listening to the show, but I'm going to have to catch you guys later in the year. I started listening to Technorama in February by pure chance. I had gotten my iPod for my birthday and was looking into some podcasts. I went into the technology section and tried to find some gaming podcasts, and there was Chuck Chat. I'm not sure how I ended up in gaming."
Then I don't know about that.
Chuck?
Well, but for a while, they had some weird stuff going on in there. I don't know.
Well, if it was iTunes, maybe.
Yeah.
"Chuck Norris jokes were big at my school last February, so I downloaded it, not knowing what I would find."
Excellent.
"So now it's September and school is back. I don't think I'm going to have time to be in the chat room anymore." Is he in there right now? Nope.
Man.
"I won't have time to be in the chat room anymore or even listen to the podcast. So here I am saying thank you, Chuck and Craig. Thanks, everyone in the chat room. If it was not for you guys, I'd probably still be sitting with popular kids trying to be cool."
Wait a minute. Popular kids? They were talking about Chuck Norris jokes.
"It wasn't until I listened to Technorama before I realized I am a geek. I can't hide it, and I'm going to be proud of it. I now run the Gamers Club at my school and have even competed in a tournament. Thank you all, and I'll be back around Christmas, so don't forget about me. Thanks, everyone. Stingray Swimmer 8.
I am so glad that we were able to bring him out of the closet. The geek closet, that is.
You're very, very welcome, Stingray. It's our pleasure, and we're glad you enjoy it.
Hey, wait a minute. He should take Technorama 101.
Technorama 101?
Yeah, at school.
You could probably teach it at this point.
Ba-dum-tsh.
We also have...
He should take Technorama 101. Ba-dum-tsh.
Sorry. Still getting over this head cold.
Boy, this crowd's tough in here.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Jeez.
It's gone with the voicemail.
So he could have time to listen to it. He would have time to listen to it.
"You have 937 messages, all of which are marked urgent."
"This is IP Relay, Relay Operator 772NF with the message."
Different one.
"Let's try this again. Hello, Chuck and Craig. I finally decided to send you a voicemail, although it is a bit late for the IP Relay topic. Anyway, I love the show and like to try to get in to chat when I can. Please don't be fooled. This is just Steve and Sumter, not another relay operator who likes your show. Well, I'll keep this short. Talk to you later, Steve and Sumter. End of message. Thank you, IP Relay, Relay Operator 772NF. Goodbye."
Not another relay operator who likes your show. God, we keep getting more of those. Not another one.
You know what? I want to see somebody word their message where it sounds like the person that called is actually saying these things.
We were already fooled by that once.
"This is not another IP operator that really likes the show."
I wonder how she felt reading that.
And well, she signed off pretty quick.
Yeah. Signing off quick. Bye.
I was like, can you send them an email or something and have them call it?
I don't know. We're going to have to find out from Steve before he goes back to Qatar.
Yeah, hey, Steve, tell us how you did that, because I'm curious now. You got me curious again about the relay operator thing.
Yeah. That'd be a great way to anonymously, you know, send
voicemails. Is that a military service or something?
Maybe. We're going to find out.
Huh. Okay.
Speaking of service.
Speaking of service.
You were gone this last week.
Yes. Went to the Magic Kingdom and Epcot and did all that. We did that for 2 days, which was a lot of fun. And I just have a question. At Epcot, you know, they have the area where they have all the countries and you can go sample all the different foods and all that good stuff in, you know, the restaurants and whatever for all the different countries, right? Well, we went to the English one. I went to the English pub and it was cool. And I liked the, you know, the English town feel. You know, they had the buildings that looked real elaborate, like churches and stuff. And we go in the pub and I was like, why do I hear a lot of English accents there? And it wasn't just the people working there, but they're all eating there. I'm like, why don't they go to another daggum country? Why are they all coming to London to eat? You know, it's like I went to the Chinese area. There's a bunch of Chinese people, and they're all eating the Chinese food. I'm like, why don't you go to Africa and try their food, you know?
Maybe it's a fear factor thing. Think about it. If you went to Japan, where would you feel most comfortable eating? In the American restaurant.
No, me, I'd eat anything. I wouldn't have a problem eating. I'm there to sample. Of course, I did eat the fish and chips, which is just fish and cod and french fries. But anyway, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. It's kind of funny.
I just thought it was funny.
Maybe you know, not everybody's got the same adventurous spirit.
I don't know. Why wouldn't they? They came to Epcot. We're experiencing that.
Welcome to the world of tomorrow, brought to you by Eastern Airlines.
Now, speaking of the world of tomorrow, you know, of course, I have a 4-year-old son. We went on the Buzz Lightyear ride, which was awesome. It was a lot of fun. You're in a pod thing, and you're shooting the reflective pieces up on the wall. Mm-hmm. You're trying to catch Zurg and put him in jail. So you're in the pods, and you can control which way direction the pods went. It's very simple, but it was a lot of fun. A lot of black light type, glow-in-the-dark stuff. And if I'm not mistaken, you can go online and play that with people that are in the pods at the moment. You know, really? So you can help them, help their score. At least I know that was the intention at first. Anyway, I thought it was really cool. Had a lot of fun. Now, the Stitch ride was cool, too. My son loves Lilo and Stitch, and we were at the Stitch ride, which was cool. They put you in a room where they have the containment area, and they beam Stitch in, and he gets loose. And, of course, it's pitch black while he's loose, and as he's running around, he burps, and you can feel the breath on your neck.
Ew.
You know, and they spray water and stuff, that kind of thing. Yeah, and it had a scent, too, and I was like, oh, it's like dirty nachos or something. but it was cool. The World of Tomorrow was pretty cool. I did not ride the Mission Space thing. I've heard too many stories about that, and after hearing about the kid that died, and there was a guy that died on it, and I was like, I don't know, I just didn't feel comfortable getting on there. So
I liked it. My biggest problem was I took out my video camera and tried videoing it, and I darn near puked. Bad idea. Your eyes where they belong.
Really? Well, I kind of, part of me regrets not trying it, but my son was too short to get on. They have two levels of it now. There's like a orange level, which isn't as bad. And I started to ride it with him, but he was a little too short for that, and which he was upset, really upset about. He wanted to go to Mars. So we didn't do that, but I kind of wish I'd gone on it anyway. But at any rate, we went and did a bunch of other stuff, and it was a lot of fun. Disney hasn't changed. There's some things haven't changed a lot since I've been. It's been about, 16, 17 years since I've been. That was the vacation I went on. When I came back, I got fired from. Or a job. But anyway, it was a lot of fun, and a lot of things remained the same, and a lot of things changed. It was cool.
We also have an audio clip here of your shuttle launch experience.
Yes, let's go into that.
Well, everybody, it's official. I did not get to see the shuttle launch. I actually sat down in my lounge chair about to wait for about another 45 minutes, and then there it went. They scrubbed the launch until tomorrow, Saturday. So I'm going back to South Carolina here shortly, so I don't think I'll be able to catch it. Oh, well, maybe in next time. Anyway, so long.
Yep.
Bummer.
That was it. Now, really, that was about what happened. I got there, And I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. You got the lounge chairs in the trunk. So I grabbed one, had the video camera and my camera, and I just sat down and I picked a spot where somebody had a radio so I could kind of, you know, listen in on it. As soon as I sat down, I heard him talk about scrubbing it, and I was like,
no!
I mean, I was there for 5 minutes, and I just drove an hour over to Titusville to catch it. And I'm sitting there in my chair, and I was like, maybe they're talking about an old broadcast or something. And all of a sudden, it's official, folks. Da, da, da. I was like, oh.
And everybody starts packing up.
Everybody starts packing up and leaving. And I was like, oh, well. So I did take a couple pictures. You can find them on my Flickr site of the view I had, which doesn't look like it was very good, but it actually wasn't so bad. I was right across the Indian River from it. You can see where it was at. I couldn't make the orange tank out or anything, but I could see where it was at, and I could see the operations building, that huge building.
The VAB?
Yeah, things like as big as my thumb almost, the view I had. It's huge. But I did take a picture of people that were all waiting. I thought it was kind of cool. It was like waiting on a football game or something.
So, and then it was called off.
Yeah, it was called off. But I did talk to I had the video camera. I was going to talk to a couple people. One guy had drove down from Tennessee just to see it. Another guy was there. He told me that he had seen it a couple times and kind of told me what it was going to be like. And he said, you can feel it, you know, coming across when the first initial explosion, you know, when it takes off, you can feel it. The water, you know, you can feel the vibrations in the ground a little bit. As I see it take off, and of course hear it breaking the sound barrier, the whole works. It's just, you know, tons of fun.
Hopefully you'll get another chance to look at it.
Yeah, someday. Well, before 2010.
That's right. That's when they retire them.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Now, Technorama with Chuck and Craig. I just laughed my head off at these guys. I'll always download their show. When I first listened, I thought, who needs to listen to this? But then I caught the bug. Now I'm a convert and really do appreciate the time and quality that these two guys put into their podcast. It makes traveling time so much more enjoyable, and I learn from it. It's got to be good.
This is Terry Dawson from the Appleton Public Library, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
I want to give a shout out to the chat room. We've got a hopping place going there. If you happen to be around on a Sunday night, join right in. It's on irc.freenode.net. The name of the chat room is #octothorpe tic tac toe, whatever you want to call that symbol. Technorama.
Thought you were going to call out the letters like a military.
No.
Okay.
We've got ASCII Adam. Country Science, Digital Dan, Glenn, John, Kevin, Mark Shepard, Scafey, Soul Blaze, Steven Sumter, who sent in that message not from a relay chat thing.
Yeah.
Tim Elliott, Victor has joined us from Typical Mac User, Typical PC User.
Yo, Vic, what's up, man?
And what's his latest show called? Alien Abductions? No, Immigration
Abduction
Tales. Immigration Tales, that's what it is. And we have several people fooling around with their names. Hey, there's
Chuck, not those kind of aliens.
Oh, gotcha. Zaha Norb, Zaha Rootbeer, and wait for it, Zaha Doom.
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 Zaha Doom. Zaha Doom.
Zaha Doom.
You gotta love that.
Jeez.
Guy puts together his own bumper.
Yeah. That took over another minute of the show.
Should we do the news?
Hey, by the way, I do want to add something. Wait a minute. I do want to add something.
Yes, sir.
My experience in Florida, I hate toll booths.
Yeah? Did you get an eye pass or something?
No, man. I was only there. I don't know.
Okay. Oh, we almost missed the listener birthday calendar. Happy birthday on the 14th to Andrew Peters, a.k.a. Pearl Hacker from the UK. So, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
yeah, happy birthday,
you.
Boy.
And then that brings us to the news, right?
Yes, let's do it now.
And now the news with Chuck and Craig's back.
September 8th is happy 40th birthday to Star Trek. Isn't that amazing? 40 years?
I know. I put this in here. I know it's a couple days ago, but I figured it was worth mentioning in the show. Yes, it's amazing that it's 3 years older than I am.
Youngster.
Hey, you know what? I know I've mentioned it here before. My happiest memory about Star Trek is taping my microphone to the TV and doing an audio recording so I can listen to it later.
You used to do that too, huh?
I did that. Man, I had masking tape on the capturing all the sound, had the microphone up to it. Did that with that and Speed Racer.
Talk about crappy audio.
Yeah.
I think I did that with a couple of cartoons too.
Yeah. Speed Racer and I think, I didn't do Ultraman, but I did that. Star Trek. And by the way, I do want to mention, and I'm curious about this. I have not seen where this is playing. I'm just going to have to go scour the TiVo for it. But, you know, this week, we're the 16th, the new Star Trek is supposed to come out. It's the one we've mentioned in here before with the updated special effects and sound. They're redoing the intro and some other little things like that. And they're changing the stories, they say. But I'm really wanting to see this, and I can't figure out what channel. Every time I see somebody going, yes, I worked on it for 14 days, you know, whatever, the interviews with the people, they never mention where it's going to show. So I don't know. I'm curious about that. By the way, at StarTrek.com,
yeah,
they have some video, a couple of clips, some examples of what they've changed. And they have some pictures of the Enterprise, which are awesome. I think they look great. I'm literally looking forward to it. I think it'll add something new to the original series.
Oh, the digitally remastered images? Yep.
Yep. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we were talking about those last week.
They redid the ships. They redid the painted backgrounds on the the phaser stuff. Like, I remember we talked about this. Scotty was using a phaser to open up a panel or something, and there was no beam, but they added the beam. They fixed a couple things like that, and they did some remastering, like taking a hair off the film, you know, that kind of thing.
Now, as I understand it, not to change the subject, but we're moving the show along. As I understand it, you want a new computer at work. It's time to get a new computer, and you want to see if you can convince your boss to get you a MacBook Pro, correct?
I'm working on that.
Okay, well, Victor has put together something that may help.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I may.
Do tell. Do tell.
Here we go.
In a world where programmers feel alone without the proper OS. In an office where productivity is as important as world peace. In a cubicle where a geek struggles with deciding between Ruby on Rails or PHP. In his mind, he has to switch between three or four computers to make certain it all works in Windows, Linux, and of course, Apple OS X Tiger. These are the everyday struggles of a web developer in 2006. You can help these frustrated and lonely programmers work smarter, not harder. You can be the catalyst to a paradigm shift for this programmer, which will catapult in a change of gained efficiency and producing even greater economies of scale. Won't you help? Offer that programmer a bit of your wisdom and experience in the corporate world. Help him become part of the Think Different generation. Provide a new Apple MacBook Pro for your programmer geek and open a new world of hope and opportunity to him. Give generously to the Your Geek Wants a Mac Fund. Do it today.
To contribute to the...
tip jar on the website.
Actually, at the beginning of that started to sound like he was pushing a Lifetime TV movie. That was cool, though. Thanks, Victor.
That was a lot of work. I mean, just
yes, it was a lot of work. I'm sure he was up late working on that. No, that words don't work right.
Hacks and strange stories.
This week we seem to have a couple of Commodore 64 or Commodore things in this for just some strange reason. It just rained on us. Well, I think last time I talked about the guy who turned his Commodore keyboard or Commodore 64 into a keyboard, a USB keyboard, and it required some soldering and things. Well, yeah. This story is from CNN.com about this guy who was using a Commodore 64, and the guy turned out to be a kidnapper. This is in Vienna, Austria. Police combing through the house where Natasha Kampusch was held captive for 8.5 years. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Said Tuesday they made an unusual discovery. Her captor, a communications technician, used an obsolete computer, and his odd choice now threatens to complicate their investigation.
Whoa. I'm calling shenanigans. This is not an obsolete computer.
Yeah.
Call this reporter out.
You can use it to block tires for an RV.
Man, there's a web server out there written on Commodore.
You can go on and read the article a little more. It's pretty interesting.
So they busted him because they realized it was coming from an older computer or something? I'm sorry, I haven't read the article. So
police have been digging pits in... it's very long. I'm not going to read the whole thing on here. But basically, yeah, it sounds like they may not have the technology to go and unravel this because they don't... You know, if you handed them an IDE hard drive, they'd know what forensics to do on that. But they don't know what to do with this old thing.
Oh, come on. I don't buy that for a minute. It's probably older
than half of their employees.
Yeah, well, true that.
Okay. Next one from Michelle Lopez, a.k.a. Country Signs. She got this off of
A-A-A-A. She's got a what? Never mind.
Got this off of AOL.
Oh, okay.
It says, many people have experienced the phenomenon of receiving a telephone call from someone shortly after thinking about them. Now, a scientist says he has proof of what he calls a telephone telepathy.
I heard about this, yeah.
Rupert Sheldrake, whose research is funded by a respected Trinity College, Cambridge, said on Tuesday he had conducted experiments that proved that such precognition existed for telephone calls and even emails. Each person in the trials was asked to give researchers names and phone numbers of four relatives or friends. These were then called at random and told to ring the subject, who had to identify the caller before answering the phone. The hit rate was 45%, well above the 25% you would have expected. He told the annual meeting of the British Association for Advancement of Science, "The odds against this being a chance effect are 1,000 billion to 1. He said he found the same result with people being asked to name one of four people sending them email before it had landed. However, his sample was small on both trials, just 63 people for the controlled telephone experiment and 50 for the email, and only four subjects were actually filmed in the phone study and five in the email, prompting some skepticism. Yeah, I can imagine so.
Well, you know what? I think you need a larger control group to really come up with those kind of... to say it was better, that it was 45% or more. So,
undeterred, Sheldrake, who believes in this interconnectedness of all minds within a social grouping, said that he was extending his experiments to see if the phenomenon also worked for mobile phone text messages. Perhaps Technorama should test this out.
Hey,
I'm thinking of putting a tip in the tip jar.
Zahadoom. I tell you, I've done this before. Go, oh, that, you know, I hadn't heard from so and so in a while. You know, that's who's ringing up. You know, I've had that happen a lot. I do that all the time. Oh, speaking of, oh, I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
No, I was just laughing at some of the stuff going on in the chat room. People are changing their names left and right. Nah. Asky Adam has left, so Kevin changed his name to Ebsedick Dork.
Ebsedick. Hey, well, here you go. I was going to tell you, we went to the Lego store, right? Now, this is my mental workings here this last week. I've been like a, I don't know, smart person. Anyway, what we went to the Lego store, and behind the counter they have a wall filled with just Lego guys, right?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them there. And I asked the guy, I said, how many are up on the wall? He goes, how many do you think there are? I looked at it and I went, 4,500. He goes, actually, there's 4,488 up there. I was like, Whoa.
Oh, and the contest goes to the next lowest bidder. You went over. It's like The Price is Right.
No, it wasn't a contest, but I was just blown away that I got that close. I just looked at it and went,
wow.
4,500, because actually there's 4,488. I was like, whoa. But then were
you watching 4,400 or something?
Yeah. No, check this out. We were in the pool, and none of us had a watch or anything. And there's a lady that's like just within earshot of me and my wife and my mother-in-law. And we're standing there, and Kim goes, I wonder what time it is. And I looked up and did the Crocodile Dundee thing, and I looked, yeah. And I went, it's about 1:48. And the woman said, oh, you need to know what time it is? And my wife said, yeah. She goes, 1:50.
I can do that.
I was like,
I have an internal chronometer. I can put bread in the oven, set the time for 20 minutes, and come up 5 seconds before that timer goes off.
Yeah, I do that too. Actually, I never use the alarm clock. I actually can think about what time I need to get up in the morning. I will get up within... Or 5-10 minutes before.
Yep. Or take a nap and say, I'm going to nap for 30 minutes and get up in 30 minutes.
No, I can't do that.
Oh, I can do that. Hang on, we're going to take another quick break real quick.
I pulled the trigger. Yep, I'm going to Mars. If it's not your daughter, you're fishing for something else.
Just like Obi-Wan did.
Yeah, and then you woke up.
All right. Ruined my fun.
Is that typewriter getting longer, or is that my imagination?
Dun dun dun.
A plus sign.
That's the little cross on the keyboard.
Yeah, that was Stephen Hawking. Wasn't he great?
I still can't believe he's 57. They're joined in the gears.
We're not going to go into their preferences.
The 10th planet is bigger than Pluto. Now can we go home?
You're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig. Hey, these guys make me feel like I'm flying with Superman. Oh, yeah.
This is Kevin Rose from Dignation, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig of Technorama.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
And Technorama also remembers when the VIC-20 first came out. And if you want to relive that glory, go to our show notes. We have a link to the Commodore VIC-20 commercial starring none other than William Shatner. A very young, very thin William Shatner.
Hey, he still talks the same.
For under $300, you can get the VIC-20, the wonder computer of the 80s. It's, I don't know, it's a lot of audio production for, you got the show notes?
I'm looking at it right here.
Bring it up.
I can't bring it up. I've got everything set up.
All right. Yeah, neither can I. I'm reading my show notes off of the computer that's
recording. Go view it. It's at YouTube. Everything's at YouTube. YouTube, yeah. iTube. We all tube.
For iTube, YouTube. What?
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
And in the media corner, we're going to go through this real quick. We just have a few wonderful links. There is a link to a 500 kilovolt switch, you know, one of those power station junction things, and it goes berserk, and it is sending an arc, you know, 20, 30, 40 feet as it's going between these contacts. I mean, if you've seen a Jacob's Ladder where it goes, this thing's going crack. I mean, just 500 kilovolts is a heck of a lot. It's making.
Where's the intern? Send him in to turn it off.
And it goes for about 20, 30 seconds. I mean, it's a thing of beauty.
I'm going to have to go look at that.
I also have a pogo to some kind a video to some kind of extreme pogo stick. Looks like it's got a pneumatic chamber, and the guy's jumping about 8 feet in the air, and he's doing backflips and front flips, and it's pretty wild. I don't think he'd catch me on one of those things. And if you're a James Bond fan,
yes,
we've got a link to a trailer for the new Casino Royale movie.
You know what? That looks great.
That
Have
looks
seen
really
it?
Good. Yes, it does.
Yeah,
that looks and like one of the better ones I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, because it looks more dare I say, real, you know, kind of gritty. And I think that's, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't look like Pierce Brosnan kind of looks, it looks too good for that kind of role. And he's supposed to be a good looking guy, I guess, or charismatic. But it just, you know, it looked kind of plastic and cartoony almost. This looks a little more on the real side, you know what I'm saying?
A little rougher around the edges.
Yeah, a little bit rougher and looks a little more real. So I'm kind of interested in that. And I think Daniel Craig, is that it? Daniel Craig? No, that was Knight Rider. Is it Daniel Craig?
I think you're right. Okay. He calling
the,
me
he
out
did
on
the
it.
Voice for Knight Rider.
Yeah, I was just watching it. No, not that guy. No, yeah, because he was Daniel also Craig. On, what was it, St. Elsewhere?
That was his character on St. Elsewhere,
and
of
he
course.
Was on Head of the Class, the teacher?
Yeah, and now he's playing James Bond.
Not
awesome.
That guy. Not that guy.
Okay, now that we're back to James Bond, I think, and I thought it looked great, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
It did look good.
Yeah.
Now, I believe it was George Starcher sent me a link to a gadget, something that I've been looking for, and right? I may just break out and spend the $40 once I'm done with this spending moratorium from my wife. This is a license plate frame that lets you put custom messages on it.
Ah, sweet.
With yeah, scrolling and everything. You can put in 5 canned messages. You can't just, you know, drive down the road while you're typing on your laptop. That would be unsafe. But you can program them in there, and then the remote lets you pick message 1, message 2, message 3, message 4. I think I could come up with 5 pretty standard messages to let people behind me, you know, you're too close.
Screw you!
Your blinkers on, you know, those kind of things. The ones you see the most often. Get out of the fast lane.
You can have a digitized version of somebody flipping the bird and have the bird roll off. when next time you go through one of those speed camera intersections, you can make a nice little message for them to pick up on.
This is just what I'm looking for.
That's not too bad for $40.
And...
Wait a minute, you can't hack this to where you can just put custom messages on it?
Somebody can hack it. I'll bet somebody can hack it. Bruce Barr has also sent us a ton of links, many of which are in the Geek Library, but this one I thought was special enough to call out. This is the worst analogies ever written in a high school essay. You have to appreciate these. I'm not going to read all of them, but I'll read you some of my favorites.
Does Daniel Craig have anything to do with this?
No.
Okay.
They lived in a typical suburban neighborhood with picket fences that resembled Nancy Kerrigan's teeth. He spoke with a wisdom that can only come from experience, like a guy who went blind because he looked at a solar eclipse without one of those boxes with a pinhole in it, and now goes around the country speaking at high schools about the dangers of looking at solar eclipses without one of those boxes with a pinhole in it. Love that analogy. There is one in here that is not possible to read and have it still come out with the same punchline, but Bob was as perplexed as a hacker who means to access, and they give one file, but gets another file, and it's really obnoxious, you know, bad file name.
I remember something like this, but it was like kids... And they were talking about, like, not necessarily, you know, religious type things, but they had the way they wrote something, it was talking about, like, and Moses went up with the 10, you know, some whatever, one commandments that they threw in some essence.
and they spell, like, Pontius Pilate as P-I-L-O-T.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's what that reminds me of.
This is very similar. This is a little more off track. John and Mary had never met. They were like two hummingbirds who had also never met.
The hailstones leap from the pavement, just like maggots when you fry them in hot grease.
I thought you'd appreciate that one. All right, I have one more short clip tonight. Hang on. This is a true message. This one's also from Michelle. This is from KL. She sent me this. Okay. This is... Well, listen, I give the introduction on the clip.
All right.
In Japan, they have replaced the impersonal and unhelpful Microsoft error messages with haiku poetry messages. They're used to communicate a timeless message, often achieving a wistful, yearning, and powerful insight through extreme brevity. Here are 16 actual error messages from Japan.
The website you seek cannot be located, but countless more exist. Chaos reigns within. Reflect, repent, and reboot. Order shall return. Program aborting. Close all that you have worked on. You ask far too much. Windows NT crashed. I am the blue screen of death. No one hears your screams. Yesterday it worked. Today it is not working. Windows is like that. Your file was so big. It might be very useful, but now it is gone. Stay the patient course. Of little worth is your ire. The network is down. A crash reduces your expensive computer to a simple stone. Three things are certain: death, taxes, and lost data. Guess which has occurred. You step in the stream, but the water has moved on. The page is not here. Out of memory. We wish to hold the whole sky, but we never will. Having been erased, the document you're seeking must now be retyped. Serious error. All shortcuts have disappeared. Screen, mind, both are blank. Brought to you by Technorama, who reminds you to geek responsibly at chuckchat.com.
Mind like water.
Hey, I didn't get that last haiku.
Geek responsibly? Yeah. Was it 575?
At chuckchat.com.
Hey, don't worry, I'll figure something out.
Do you know what that reminds me of? And this is no disrespect to any, if we have any Chinese listeners, but we used to get these cheap. I mean, these people would try and save money on these modems. And this is back when modems, you flip the switch to make it a certain COM port, you know?
Yep.
And I'm looking at the manual trying to figure out, okay, which ones I need to flip, because it's not printed, it's not, you know, on the circuit board. So I'm looking at the manual, and it's like, flip all 8 dip switch.
Oh, yeah, the translations were some of the best parts.
It's missing all the plural, you know, identifications. I'm like, what? Nobody double checks these when they came in the country. It's kind of funny.
All right, we're going to go through the geek library. I don't think we need the bumper this time. Thanks to Bruce Barr for supplying us with lots of geek library stuff. We have all your docs are belong to us. We're looking for documentation on Java, JavaScript, Perl, PHP, and many more. You can go to quickref.org, spelled just the way it sounds, quickref.org.
I like that. You go there and it says, type something here.
There's also another one that's spelled not the way it sounds. This is blogmusic.net, and music is musik.net. There's a library of music out there, and if you create a login and sign in, you can put together your own playlists with this little Flash player, which is kind of neat. The Flash player looks like sort of a warped variation of the iPod.
So you know, I did go look at that. Yeah, it looks actually like almost like a knockoff iPod, because it has not a wheel, but 4 control buttons in an, you know, array.
Very easy for you to say.
Yeah.
And if you're into Linux shell scripting, there's a link to the Linux shell scripting tutorial.
That's cool. Hey, you know, it's always good to have those. Even though I've done that, I'm no expert, and I think anybody that says they are, they don't know what they're doing, because I think there's something to learn from all these. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So. And if you're into Windows XP hacks, there's a link to Windows XP hacks. One of them is very interesting. You can actually take, the command interpreter, change it into a screensaver, and reset the root password or the admin password on somebody's machine.
Mm-hmm.
Very handy.
Yeah, I've done that with, Oh, I made an ultimate boot disc. That came in handy. I did it with that one time.
And one that I have not had a chance to try yet, but I'm very interested. Maybe you can do a quick review for us on the next show. Is called XML Notepad. It allows an intuitive interface for editing XML documents. It's not just Notepad repurposed. This is a download from Microsoft to give you a better XML editor.
So, you know, I have. It seems like I heard about this, but I hadn't seen it. Yeah, I'll download this tomorrow. What was the other one? There was one that I'm trying to remember what it was. There was one I downloaded. I think it was in GNOME. It was a GNOME interface type thing, and it would do like you could just kind of put things in it. It looked like the OPML editor. You ever seen that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked kind of like that, and you ended up making XML. I'll have to check this out.
I wonder if this is Microsoft's version of that. Yeah, that'd be great. If you have a comparison, that'd be even more terrificer.
I shall see what I can do.
Also. That brings us to the end.
Hey, what'd you call me?
Moving okay, right along. End of the show. If you want to get in touch with us, there's always the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email me, Chuck at ChuckChat.com, or Craig is K-R-E-G at ChuckChat.com. We say this every time, but for the new listeners, it's always a courtesy. There's always the website, the one constant in the universe, ChuckChat.com, for all your forum, swag, webcam, mail list, links to the show notes, and much, much more. Thank you very much, Marv. He's been putting in about an article with tons of Technorama-ish links every day. If you're not getting the blog content, go to the website or subscribe to the full feed. If you're using an aggregator like iTunes, you're going to miss a whole bunch of stuff. More than we can put in the show.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I haven't talked to you about this, but you know what? I suggest that everybody go subscribe because I'm going to put in some feed-only items.
Good idea.
That you can only get if you're subscribed with a feed reader.
Okie doke.
All right.
If you have questions, let us know. Chuck at ChuckChat.com. Craig at ChuckChat.com. We'll get it to you.
Yep.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at FriendsInTech.com. Audio streaming is provided by Scott Reynolds, who is on the road at the moment, going to a training course for the next couple of days.
Well, good thing the stream is working while he's gone.
Well, it bombed out on us for a little while, but we got it back up and running while you were talking. Chat room provided by Freenode.net if you want to learn more. IRC.freenode.net is a great place to start. If you're getting this show by clicking on the link on the website, consider subscribing. Like we said, there's a couple of ways to do that to get the show automatically delivered to you. If you're confused as all get out,
like we are,
drop us an email and we'll be confused together.
That's right.
Tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, we've got the man back here to give you an official binary high five.
101.
Thanks for listening. Take care. Till next time.
Bye now.